Order, order.
The House resumes at 2 on Tuesday, back from a week's adjournment to start our three-week sitting period running through to Thursday, November the 17th. Question time on Tuesday will be followed, provided there's no successful application for an urgent debate, by the government putting the House to work on its legislation. Although the Leader of the House, Gerry Brownlee, wasn't giving much away on what will be on the order papers this week when he delivered his business statement before the start of the adjournment.
The Honourable Gerry Brownlee.
Mr Speaker, when the House resumes on Tuesday the 1st of November, the government will look to complete the third readings of the 8 bills which have been split from the Health Practitioners Replacement of Statutory References to Medical Practitioners Bill and a number of other bills on the order paper.
There was just enough time before the adjournment on Thursday evening for the House to make a start on that medical practitioners bill in the name of the Minister of Health, Jonathan Coleman, who launched the debate on its third and final reading.
This bill will amend 8 acts to remove references to medical practitioner and replace them with the words health practitioner. That's going to enable a wider range of suitable health practitioners to undertake certain functions that are currently restricted only to medical practitioners.
Many health professional groups were now capable of performing the tasks that were previously the sole domain of medical practitioners, such as the minister, before he left medicine behind for a career in politics.
The purpose of this bill is to improve access to services for New Zealanders, and this government wants to ensure that people receive timely care from the most appropriate health practitioner close to home. And that's going to be a very necessary approach if we are going to have a sustainable health system that can provide the services that everyone across the country needs in the long term.
Jonathan Coleman was followed in the debate by his chief critic, Labour spokeswoman on health.
The Honourable Annette King.
Thank you, Mr Speaker, and Labour, as they have throughout this bill, supported at its third reading. I want to begin by saying I would have thought the Minister could have shown a little bit more enthusiasm about this bill, because certainly the Health Select Committee did not. We did not find it boring at all. In fact, I want to begin by saying that the Health Committee took the bill very seriously. We did a very good job on the bill and have reported it back once we got our hands on it.
Mrs King was pleased the bill was near the end of what she described as a very long process, and she praised the Health Select Committee and its chairman.
I do think we have an extremely good Health Committee, and I will say of Simon O'Connor, one of the best chairs we've had of a Select Committee. And I think he should be in Cabinet. In fact, he'd probably make an extremely good Health Minister. He's informed, he is informed, he's reasoned, he knows a little bit about it, and he's interested. And none of those qualities our current Minister has.
And with perfect timing, Annette King was followed in the debate by Simon O'Connor.
Look, thank you to the member who's just resumed her seat for the very kind words. It is a death knell for my career to have the opposition laud me so strongly. It's been an absolute pleasure to serve this House, and this could become a valedictory.
National Simon O'Connor, who chairs the Health Select Committee, which split into two subcommittees to travel to Christchurch on Friday to hear more submissions on its inquiry into the public's view of medically assisted death, which was prompted by a petition from former Labour MP Marianne Street and nearly 9,000 others. The only other Select Committee this week was not open to the public. The Marie Affairs Committee gathered behind closed doors here at Parliament on Wednesday for an all-day meeting to discuss a bill that's dividing the House right down the middle. The Tatura Whenua Māori Bill has a backstory that begins in the 1860s in the first legislation affecting Māori land. Widespread frustration among Māori at the laws coming out of colonial parliaments eventually culminated in Dame Whenua Cooper's Māori Land March in 1975 and the Bulger National Government's response in Tatura Whenua Māori Act of 1993, a very significant piece of legislation in the view of the current Minister for Māori Development, Te Uaroa Flavel.
The Tatura Whenua Māori Act 1993 was arguably one of the most groundbreaking pieces of legislation of our generation because of the seismic shift it made in Māori land policy.
Te Uaroa Flavel there in the House on May the 10th this year, launching the first reading debate on his Tatura Whenua Māori Bill, which amends the 1993 Act.
This bill we're considering today, Mr Speaker, is one of the most important measures for Māori that this Parliament will consider in our time, and I am proud and humbled to be the steward of it into the House this afternoon.
The Minister of Māori Development then looked back at the bill's origins.
It was the 1975 land march that completely changed the legal framework for Māori land. It shifted from one that assimilated and alienated Māori land to one that promoted retention.
But Te Tūra Whenua Māori Act was far from perfect.
We know that because the first attempt to reform it started in 1998, 5 years later. And there have been at least six panels to consider the changes over time.
In the last 4 years alone, a panel was established in 2012 by the Associate Minister for Māori Affairs, the Attorney General, Christopher Finlayson, to review the 1993 Act. The panel took nearly 2 years to publish its report in April 2014. Then the following February, Mr. Flavell formed a second advisory group. A new consultation document and draft bill came out in May, and in June a ministerial advisory group held 23 consultation hui attended by well over 1,000 people. Then in March this year, the Waitangi Tribunal released a full report on the bill, as it was at the time, saying that Māori would be prejudiced if it went ahead in its current form. More on that from Rhys Lyon, following this final argument from Te Uruwa Flavell.
The purpose of this bill is to recognise and provide for the mana and tino rangatiratanga that since time immemorial, Māori have exercised and continue to exercise over their lands, resources and taonga in accordance with tikanga Māori, and consistent with the guarantees given to Māori and Te Tiriti o Waitangi to protect the rights of owners of Māori land to retain, control, occupy and develop their land as a taonga tuku iho for the benefit of present and future generations of owners, their whānau and their hapū. If we can achieve this purpose, Mr. Speaker, then we will unquestionably be one of the most important measures this Parliament will consider for Māori in our time.
Māori Development Minister Te Uruwa Flavell in the first reading debate of his Te Tūra Whenua Māori Bill on May the 10th. But the bill faces stern opposition, as Rhys Lyon discovered.
Leading Labour's opposition to the bill, its Ikaroa Rāwhiti MP, Mika Whaitiri, questioned the stated rationale for the Te Tūra Whenua Māori Bill.
The Crown asserts the current Act constraints have led to the underperformance of up to 80% of Māori land and believes new legislation will unlock hundreds of millions of dollars in returns for owners. This is exceptionally misleading. Under the Act, many Māori entities are thriving economically. We Pere Trust, Mangatuan Corporation in my electorate of Ikaroa Rāwhiti and Tuarapaki Trust in the Minister's own electorate of Wairiki are some fine examples of economic success under the Act.
Mika Whaitiri said the proposed bill was in breach of the principles of the Treaty of Waitangi.
The Treaty of Waitangi principle requires effective protection mechanisms and properly informed broad-based support of Māori. This bill, sir, I believe, has not fulfilled either of these requirements. After over a century of struggling with the effects of bad legislation that disadvantaged Māori and led to the massive loss of land, a hard-won Crown Māori consensus informed by the 1975 land march led by Dame Whena Cooper, with a catch cry of not one more acre, resulted in our current law, Te Tūru Whenua Māori Act 1993.
Ms. Whaitiri said that Act had been thoroughly consulted when it was first passed.
The current Act took more than 10 years to pass through the various stages of lawmaking. This shows the consideration required when attempting major changes to the relationship between Māori and their whenua. The New Zealand Māori Council, the Māori Women's Welfare League, were active political watchdogs of successive governments, and the Law Commission also played a significant role.
The Labour MP suggested the same level of consultation hadn't been followed this time around, as evidenced by a finding issued by the Waitangi Tribunal after it received complaints about the process taken in reviewing the original Act.
The Waitangi Tribunal, sir, found that the reforms have not been progressed without sufficient empirical research, meaning the Crown and Māori cannot be fully informed on the rationale for changes, nor the implications arising from some changes proposed. The Waitangi Tribunal, sir, further states that reforming this legislation without genuine consultation and broad-based support from Māori would be a breach of the Treaty of Waitangi. The Waitangi Tribunal declared the consultation hui in June 2015 breached legal standards. I attended many of the hui, including over half of the 21 hui hastily organised this February. Many attendees, sir, were at a loss at these hui as to why so little time was given to absorb the details and implications of the bill. The Minister heard it for himself. By introducing the bill to Parliament, the Crown has failed to ensure fair and valid consultation processes.
Mika Whaitiri criticised the government over the number of changes it had made to the bill in light of the Waitangi Tribunal's full report on it.
With over 110 changes made to the bill since the exposure draft was first published in 2015, Te Tūru Whenua Māori Bill represents policy made on the fly. A key issue is whether reforms can be effective when the bill has been subjected to such ongoing unplanned changes. Creating policy in legislative settings off the cuff is high risk, and it is concerning that it took a tribunal hearing to prompt further revisions to the bill from the Minister's officials. The reforms now present as legislation being written on the go without clear analysis of impacts.
Ms Whaitiri was particularly concerned about an erosion of powers of the Māori Land Court and questioned the reasoning behind the move.
Because there has been no extensive research on the existing Act, it is impossible to say whether removal of the Māori Land Court's protective role will help good governance of land. In my view, the proposed changes to the role of the court are high risk, and the bill engaged owners will be able to represent the interests of all owners for certain decisions rather than the Māori Land Court making such determinations.
The bill originally shifted decision-making power from the Māori Land Court to new governance structures called rangatōpū, a proposal that has now been made optional.
One of the many off-the-cuff changes made to the bill, there is no longer a quality safeguard in place. This means if related parties, the engaged owners, were making decisions on behalf of others, then they will be doing so with no set framework or quality standard of governance.
Ms Whaitiri was also sceptical of the bill's establishment of a Māori land service, which the Minister Te Araroa Whewhu says is intended to support Māori landowners in all of their land matters so they can achieve their aspirations.
It is unfortunate that Māori landowners have not been given sufficient information of how the service will run, where it will be based, and more importantly, what its role would actually be. It is not enough to say this work is in progress, given the expectation that succession and land development services will be provided by this yet-to-be-established service.
Ms Whaitiri said her party would not support the bill.
There is a lack of rationale for the reforms and no way of ensuring legislative solutions, sir, are fit for purpose. So, sir, this is why Labor is not supporting the bill.
Labor's Mika Whaitiri, whose party was joined by the Greens and New Zealand First in opposition to the bill, their combined tally of 58 votes defeated by the 63 of National, the Māori Party, ACT and United Future. The bill is due to be reported back from the Māori Affairs Committee by November the 25th.
That report from Rhys Lyon. Submissions on that Te Tūru Whenua Māori bill have closed. But if you're really busting to make a submission, why not put one in on the review of standing orders, which are open till Friday, November the 25th, or on the Outer Space and High Altitudes Activities Bill, which is open for submissions until Thursday, December the 1st, and is still on the Watch the Space, so to speak. For more details on how to make a submission and who to make it to, go to www.parliament.nz and click the Have Your Say button. The Health Committee will be hearing more submissions on this inquiry into public attitudes on assisted dying. That's on Wednesday morning, but only for an hour between 10 and 11. They'll be in Room 2 in Bowen House, while over in the main building, the Māori Affairs Committee will be closing the doors of Room 6 to spend another 3 hours huddled over Te Tūru Whenua Māori Bill. I'm Tom Fruin, and this programme was made with funding from Parliament.